and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene and Ruben. We're all here.
Welcome to our reading wrap-up 2023 edition.
I'm so excited.
We are so excited.
This is what the whole year really boils down to, is this moment.
This is what Christmas is all about. This is the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. How many books did we read? Statistics. It's a lot of statistics, honestly.
It's going to be a lot of statistics.
Yeah, it's a whole section.
We are so excited to record this episode. We have been prepping for a while here because there's just a lot of data that we're going to be going over. A lot of data, you guys. And for the video viewers, you're going to watch me messing around with my bangs here for a couple of minutes. I'm so sorry. But for your audio listeners, you guys are the intelligent ones. Don't worry about my bangs, everyone. Okay. We are so excited to record this because this is the first of basically our end of year trilogy. Every year we end off with it's like ending the year and starting the new year with a trilogy of episodes that are the cream of the crop. Yeah. The best episodes of the year. This is what we've all been working towards. So this is episode one of that trilogy. This is the reading wrap-up and statistics episode. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be looking at how many books did we read. What were our favorite books? And what are the stats of those books? Like, we have so many charts. Yeah. We have so many pie charts.
It actually
took
me so long to, like, all throughout the year, I didn't have the pie charts on my spreadsheets. I wanted to save it for the end of the year. So I had to go in and create, like, 12 different pie charts on my reading spreadsheet. So that was a lot of fun.
So, yeah, exactly. So it was fun. This is fun, guys. I swear to God, this is really fun. And then we have all sorts of different, like, questions about the reading that we accomplished this year. Then the second episode that will be coming out in, like, a week or whatever, in a couple of days, will be a Christmas haul and a community stats. So basically, a lot of these questions and more we have asked to you guys and loads of you. We've already passed the last time I looked at it, we had passed 1,000 responses.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys filled out the spreadsheet so that we can talk about your guys' reading, because that's just a lot of fun.
It is, yeah.
And then the third episode of the trilogy, The Return of the King, that's where we talk about goals. That's where we're going to talk about next year's goals, next year's reading resolutions, but also how we did in this year's reading resolutions and this year's goals. And you might be thinking, why don't you just put that into this episode? We just have so much to talk about that each episode is already so jam-packed that we had to just shuffle things around. So it is what it is. But if you're like, why didn't they talk about what goals they did this year? We will be. Just you wait until the next episode. It's coming.
That'll be the New Year's Day episode.
Yes.
Lots of holiday episodes this year.
Everything lined up really fun. Like, this episode is coming out on Christmas, and then the goals episode is coming out on New Year's.
We love it.
So it's a lot of fun. So now you know what's going on. We are so excited to jump in. And so let's just freaking do it. Oh, Raylene, today I have my tea and I have my All Books Are Winners mug.
I have my tea and my dust jackets mug today.
Yay.
So cute. My All Books Are Winners mug I actually never use. It's just a decoration on my bookshelf.
It's too beautiful, isn't it? I know. I'm, like, scared to break it because we don't have the money.
That's true. It's rare. It's never
It's a limited edition item. Okay. Enough of this prelude. Enough of this crap. It's time to jump
get to
in
the first volume of the trilogy already.
Yeah, we're going in. Actually, we're only 5 minutes into the episode. That is a normal amount of introduction. So I take it all back. It's okay. Okay, this is gonna work like it always works. I basically am hosting these episodes because there's just so much. It's the only way we can keep it together.
Yep.
So I'm gonna ask you the questions first, Raylene, and then I will also answer the questions, of course. Question number one. How many books did you read in 2023?
Okay, I kind of want you to guess, and then I'll tell you.
I think you read 82.
You're not far off. I actually read 90.
Whoa.
I finished the 90th book yesterday. So,
very good. Thank you. Very good. Very good. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good.
Okay.
Because usually my goal is to read 100 books. Like, I love crossing that 100 book threshold. But yep. this year I didn't really care. Like, I was like, whatever happens. And I mean, especially at the beginning of the year, I was obviously reading some like longer books. Like, I read 11/22/63 by Stephen King, which I was like, oh, this is such a long book. It's going to take me forever.
Yeah.
I like tried to read The Way of Kings. Obviously, I didn't end up finishing it. But like, I was really trying to read longer books. And so I wasn't really worried about having a high number. But I did end up reading quite a lot still. 90 is still a lot. So I feel good about it.
A lot. Yeah. Okay, let's not, I'm not saying you didn't read a lot. I'm just, because this is the thing. Raylene and I, and this is why I think, well, one of the reasons I think the podcast is so good, we are such different readers. Mm-hmm. Like, we're both big readers, but that's where the similarities stop. And we're like such different readers. And I mean, I'm about to say how many books I read. It's a lot less. Yeah. It's a lot less than you, but it still feels good to me. So it's just about how you feel about that number. Mm-hmm. The number doesn't really matter. And this is why I really stopped tracking my reading online. Well, one of the reasons, because I was like, I don't need the pressure of people seeing how many books I'm reading. There's no right, there's no wrong. I am curious though, because you mentioned that you like reading 100 books a year. What did you do last year?
Last year, I can check.
We have the spreadsheets.
Yeah, reading data. I have spreadsheets all the way back to 2018 at this point. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, same. I have to 2019 because that's when we were doing the pod and doing the stuff. Yeah, that's
awesome. Okay, this is actually kind of unfortunate. I only read 98. I was so close.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And then what about the year before?
The year before, I think I read a lot more. I read 103. But I see that I read a lot of manga that year. And the further back you go, the kind of more manga I think there was, like, it was part of my reading. So I would read a lot. Like, there was one year I read like 130 books because I read 50 volumes of manga or whatever. So
I remember that. I actually really remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, well, how many books did I read? Raylene, give it a guess since we're in our guessing era.
I'm
going
to guess 29.
Oh, well. I read 33.
I was gonna say 32 and then I was like, I don't know. Well done.
Better to guess.
Well
low.
Done.
Better to guess.
Applause. You've exceeded Thank my you. Expectations.
Thank you. Thank you. So last year I read 27. The year before that I read 27. What? Wow. 27, weird. 2 years in a row. In 2020, which was a particularly good reading year for me, I read 45. Ooh. So that just for context of the last few years. In 2023, I read 33 books. And I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I will obviously be talking loads about all the different books and stuff. But I feel like I read some really good stuff. And I feel like I did read more than I usually do, which I did. Yeah. I read like, well, if the last 2 years I've read 27 books, God. I hate doing math in public because I instantly get so nervous that I then am slower and worse at it. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Six. I read six more books than I usually do. And that's actually, percentage-wise, a big chunk more. A big percentage chunk more than I usually read.
Definitely.
So I'm pretty excited about it and I feel pretty good about it. I like the types of books that I read, so feeling good.
That's what matters.
Okay. This next question, I mean, you can listen to this and most people are going to probably stop listening to the podcast. Maybe we should have buried it deeper into the app, but it's too exciting. It's too exciting. It's time. We're just going to now do it. It is time to announce our favorite books of the year. Mm. You can list as many as you want. You could have had a top eight. You could have had a top one. But I do think you should do it in backwards order, building to the top.
Ooh.
If you can.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do my best. So, okay. I'll probably start as number five being Boy Parts by Eliza Clark.
Fascinating.
You know, the fun story about this year is that I actually only read like five books that I really loved. And so these are my top five and like, this is what it is. So I really, really love this one. And as I mentioned in a few episodes ago, I just got her second book. So I'm really excited to read more of her because I feel like she is a interesting new voice coming onto the scene. So I'm really excited about her and see what she'll do. Oh, that's this is so really cool. Hard to like narrow this down because I love all these books so much. Like the top four are really like cream of the crop. Okay, I'll just go with this one. Norwegian Wood by Haruki Murakami. This was the first book I read this year and started me off with a bang. Honestly, this was such a great book and will like go down in my personal history as one of my favorite Murakamis, like as well as a favorite book. I would say this and 1Q84 are like top Well, and that makes sense. What I talk about when I talk about running is also really good.
Have you read Kafka on the Shore?
Yeah, that one was kind of middling, honestly. I read that one two years ago, I think.
Because I feel like that might be the one I hear the most about.
It was very interesting, and I think about it a lot, actually. That's one of those books that, like, maybe I didn't love it, but I think about it a lot because it had a lot of interesting things happening. So I do really like that one, just not in the same way. Okay. 11/22/63 by Stephen King. Ooh, another book I read in January. It's actually kind of funny to look at my favorites. So I read two of my favorites in... It is big. I read two of my favorites in January. And
Raylene, I had a very similar thing.
Yeah. Well,
so many of my favorite books came at the beginning.
Yeah, because I feel like at the beginning of the year, I really... Like, for some reason, I feel liberated. I feel like, oh, I can just read all my mashed potato books, which I could read them anytime. But for some reason, I have like, mental block where I'm like, no, I can't read them in the second half of the year. Like, Boy Parts, I read in July. Didn't make a new favorite since between July and now. Isn't that kind of scary?
So, the last book you read that was a favorite was Boy Parts in July.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that terrifying?
It is a little scary.
I'm like, what's wrong with the second half of the year? Like, that should be the best time, because I love fall and, you know, late summer and whatever.
That's okay. Interesting. Okay.
Number two, Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be in the top one or two.
This list is not surprising. I've talked about these books so much throughout the year. But yeah,
it might be surprising, though, because I do, like, just because we have data, we know that more people listen to these episodes than any other episode. So there's probably, like, 3,000 or 4,000 extra people who are like, wow, she read this book this year. Crazy. Okay.
And that one I specifically listened to on audiobook for anyone who wants to know. I really, really love the audiobook, and I do think it informed how much I love the book, because Anthony Bourdain read it and he's just awesome. He's a great audiobook narrator. And then the finale, my number one favorite book of the year. Once again, everybody knows the answer, but and this is probably my new favorite book of all time, possibly. It was so good.
Whoa.
Know My Name by Chanel Miller, which I don't have with me because I lent it to a friend. I just want everyone to read it.
Is this the one you annotated and gave away and no one will give it back?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm a little scared, but it's going to get to me eventually. So, yeah.
Wow.
Know My Name by Chanel Miller.
Wow.
Was by far the best book I read this year. Probably will never be able to top it. Like, how much I just, like, connected to it. And, like, usually, and I've talked about this before, I don't usually care about writing in books, which, like, I'm more into plot and characterization. I don't really care about the actual writing itself very often. But with this book, it just struck me. Every single page, I was like, oh my God, that was beautiful. And highlighting things because I couldn't stop myself. I never annotate books, but I just couldn't hold myself back because this book was so beautifully written and so emotionally, like, packed.
Powerful. Yeah.
Oh, it was like, yeah, exactly. It was so many things. It was like all of my favorite things mashed up into a book. It was so, so good. So highly recommend it. And I hope I get my copy back soon.
Okay, well, I love the main thing I think about when you talk about that book, main thing I talk about when I talk about running. The main thing I think about when you talk about that book is how we both read our favorite book of the year.
At the same time.
At the same time. That without was knowing.
Insane.
We just showed up to the episode and I was like, I read the best book I've ever read. And you were like, so did I.
I think that was probably my favorite episode we recorded this year because we were
just
giddy. That
was so funny. It was so exciting. All right. Well, that was very exciting. Even though I knew your favorite books of the year, it is like very legitimizing and exciting to hear it in a list.
Like, it's for sure. These are the ones.
This is
nothing
the list.
Secretly topped it. Like, there was nothing that I was hiding.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I could have been keeping a secret favorite.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 favorites and 2 honorable mentions.
Oh, I love that.
So I'm going to start with my honorable mentions because these were my favorite graphic novels of the year and they didn't quite reach to be in my top 5 or 6 favorites of the year, but they're still like amazing graphic novels, and I love graphic novels, so I just wanted to shout them out. They are Talk to My Back by Yamada Murasaki. Mm. I read this back in January, I absolutely loved it. And actually, no, I'm looking at my thing. I read it in February. I bought it in January.
Still so long ago. I feel like it was not that long ago. That's crazy.
I know, but oh God, I smashed my glasses. I'm obsessed with this. This was so, so beautiful, and I really recommend it. It's from the 80s, which is really cool, and it's written by a woman about being a housewife in Japan in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that? It was so fascinating.
That sounds awesome.
And then the other one is The Skull by John Klassen. I just loved this book so much. And I think I talked to you about how when I was visiting bookshops earlier this year, mm-hmm. I went to a children's bookshop and I was like, I want my hat back by John Klassen. Yeah. She's like, no, but I just got his new book, The Skull. I just read it. It's quite chilling. I was like, it is. And that's why I like it. It's dark. If I had a kid, this is what they'd be reading. So those are my honorable mentions. But okay. Whoa, I'm so excited. So fun. Okay. Number six, I'm going to put A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. I actually didn't think that this was going to be in my top list. Well, I was just kind of surprised, but then I put my list together and I was like, no, this should be on there because this is the book that I've recommended the most this year to people in my real life. I have bought this for multiple people as birthday presents. I think about it often. Like, I really enjoyed it. It made an impression. It was kind of a grower. Like, the longer that I thought about it, the more I was like, I actually really liked that book.
Nice.
Okay. Number five. This is so hard. Okay, number five, because I hadn't ordered them before this. Number five is My Own 2 Feet by Beverly Cleary. I adored this memoir. Beverly Cleary wrote one of my favorite YA books called 15, which I read when I was like 14 or 15, and was from the 60s. And it's just so cute and charming. And then I found out she has this memoir, read it. Obsessed with her life, obsessed with her. She's my hero. I just love her so much. And she has another biography or a memoir called The Girl on Yamhill, I think, about her childhood. This is like from when she goes to college and And the first one is from birth to high school or whatever. So I've got to read that. Got to read it. Number four, I'm going to give to Wedding Toasts I'll Never Give by Ada Calhoun. This was the second book that I read in the year and absolutely adored it. I think I read it in 2 days. I think I remember that. Like, I was sitting over back there and I was like, just zorched through it. Loved it so much. I don't agree with a lot of her decisions in her marriage. A lot of the things that she did, I was like, I wouldn't do that in my marriage. But I still just found it so readable, compelling, interesting. And I underlined the heck out of this book. Like, I underlined so many things. Okay. Number three is going to go to 84, Charing Cross Road. Yep. This was so beautiful. Again, read it really quickly. I listened and read listened to the audiobook version while reading this. I remember, and while I was knitting my little triangle squares for that bunting that I made, this is incredible. And I have now people are starting to tag me in things on Instagram where they're sharing their favorite books of the year. A lot of people are like, I read this because of Ariel and I'm obsessed with it. Guys, if you are listening to this podcast, that means that you love books. If you love books, you will love this book. It is about loving books and it's so beautiful. So loved this one.
Amazing.
Number two. Well, you already know what's coming, really.
I know, but I'm trying to remember what number two would be. I know what number one is.
It's True Grit.
Oh, duh.
I forgot it. True Grit. Charles Portis. Okay, I've explained this book to people throughout the year, like multiple times throughout the year. I've explained this book to people and I literally choke up. I'm like, you know who has the True Grit? Maddie Ross. It's Maddie Ross. I loved this book. I loved the way that I read it. That was really random. Basically, I was just scrolling through Libby the library app. I just wanted an audiobook as soon as I could get one. And so I just clicked available now. I started scrolling and I saw that True Grit, which I'd heard of, but I didn't really, it wasn't really on my list. It wasn't really on my TBR.
Yeah.
But I had heard of it. I thought it sounded cool. And I saw it was narrated by Donna Tartt.
So I was like,
yeah, okay, I'll do that. So I listened to the audiobook and I fell in love with this book. I love it so, so much. And then number one, The Blue Castle by Lucy Maud Montgomery. Yes. Yes. God, I love this book. Oh, woo! It's perfect. You know what? This is exactly what it's supposed to be. I think that Lucy Maud Montgomery was like, I'm going to write this type of book. And she wrote exactly that type of book. The thing that she was trying to make, she made it perfectly. It's kind of a romance. It's kind of an adventure story. It's very cozy. Mm-hmm. Like, if this book came out now, everyone would be like, for lovers of Animal Crossing and cozy comfort reads. You know what I mean? Because it's about a girl who, like not much happens to her, but, like, the things that do happen are so cute and cozy. And we talked about this when you read it, Raylene. Mm. But if you like Jane Austen, you will love this book.
Yeah.
You will love this book. This is a Canadian Austen type novel about a girl who's breaking social boundaries in her era, which I'm trying to remember, I think was the 1910s or the 1920s. Like, she's like pushing the bounds on what she can do to be happy. I'm obsessed with this book. It's a 10 out of 10.
Yay.
Beautiful, perfect, love it. Those were my top books of the year.
Beautiful. I love that.
We did so good.
I feel like we found some really good favorites this year. Like, really solid, like, I will not forget about these books favorites.
I so agree. So now that you know the books that we read that we loved, and you know how many books we read, it is time to open the spreadsheets, baby. It's time for some stats. All right, the spreadsheets are open. I'm staring at my stats, but let's start it off with you, Raylene, because that's how the song and dance goes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even remember how we did this last
year. I was going to say, we might need to go back and forth if we have similar spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Like, maybe let's start with the reading spreadsheet. Let's maybe start with the obvious place. This is also the one with the most charts for me.
Yes. You mean as opposed to the purchasing spreadsheet?
I'll tell you my spreadsheets first of all. I have my reading data. I have books acquired, which is my purchasing one.
And then
I have my TBR spreadsheet, which is a new one that I started doing this year, where I showed how many books I had on my TBR at the beginning of January, how many books I read, how many books I unhauled, how many books I bought, and then how that affected my TBR. So I'll maybe save that for the end because it's kind of interesting.
Okay. Because that's kind of niche, because I definitely don't have that. I also will say I don't have a purchasing one.
Oh.
I started it and I kept it up until May.
Yeah. It's a hard one to keep up. It really is.
It is a hard one to
keep up. It feels like a chore, but it's worth it.
That's exactly it. It is worth it. I just didn't do it because it is hard. Like, every time you buy a book and you bring it home, you've got to sit down and input a bunch of data. And mm-hmm. that sounds not like a big deal, but if you buy like 6 books and you come home, you're like, oh my God. And I just didn't keep on top of it. So you're going to be alone on those second 2 spreadsheets, but I'm very excited to hear your data about
them. Thank you.
But let's go through our reading spreadsheet together.
Okay. So yes, cool. Let's just kind of discuss as we go. So I have a column for number of times read, which just means if it's a first time read or if it's a reread. So I'll start there because that's right at the beginning. So this year I read 10% rereads and 90% first time reads, which I feel like is the least amount of rereads I've had in a while. Or maybe even I don't know.
Well,
it might be kind of high, actually. I feel like there was one year where I had like 9% or 12%.
Do you remember last year? I think it was last year. You were like, I want to reread 30%
of
my
crazy.
Books. And I think you reread 12%?
Last year I reread 7%. The lowest percent possible. That's not much less than I thought. What about the year before? Maybe it was the year before I wanted to read 30%. Are you sure it was last year? Oh, it was 9% the year before.
No, it was last year because I remember we laughed at how abysmally bad you did.
Yeah,
it was like you tried to do the opposite.
So
you're
reread a little bit more this year because right at the beginning of the year, I reread the entire Saga comic series. So that's why it's higher than normal. That's the
that'll
only reason it's 10. So what about you?
Well, I actually didn't even bother to make a chart for this one because all of them were the first time reading.
That.
I didn't reread a single book this year.
That's
I don't know how I feel about that. Last year, I reread 11%.
Mm.
The year before that, I reread, 3.7%.
Yikes.
What about in 2020? 8%, 8.9%. So my rereading has been very low for years, but this is the low. I just literally didn't reread a book this year. Hmm. Except right at the end, I'm currently listening to the audiobook of Stephen King's Writing, but I won't finish it this year, I don't think, because me and Connor... I didn't mean for this to happen, but now Connor he's very invested. Oh, man. And so we can only listen to it together in the car when we're driving. Yeah. And that's only very specific times. So I won't finish it this year. That's the only one. And it's not going to get finished. So shocking.
Very shocking.
Okay. What's your next column? Is it format?
No, but I can skip to that. Next one is genre, which is kind of a big one. So format.
Let's do format and then genre.
Okay, so format. This year I read 81% physical books.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, not like it's pretty high, but like...
It's pretty high.
I feel like that's much higher than last year. Last year I did... Oh gosh, wow. My spreadsheet from last year is really, really confusing to look at. my charts are not all in a row. They're like everywhere. There we go. 73% last year was physical. So yeah, I've gone up quite a lot. Listened to 11% audiobooks and 5% ebooks.
Wow, so you really forgot about ebooks this year.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple of little percents here because there was one book apparently I listened to physical and read it on, or I did physical and audio. And then...
Wasn't that a Stephen King one?
Maybe.
No, it was a Brandon Sanderson one.
I don't remember.
I will say this kind of lines up because one of your goals this year, if I'm correct, is to read more of your physical TBR. That was one of your goals, right?
But I mean, a lot of the audiobooks I listen to are also from my physical TBR. To be fair.
I don't often listen to
random audiobooks. I try not to anyway because it takes me away. It takes me away from my.
Yeah,
you know, my books I already own and want to read, like those are in my heart. They are my priority, and I feel like I'm cheating on my TBR a little bit if I read something else. But yeah, I mean, I'm just surprised I didn't listen to that many audiobooks. I think it's because I was listening to podcasts quite a lot this year. So like driving and getting ready before work is like usually my audiobook time. But I spent a lot of that time listening to podcasts this year instead. So I think that's the only reason. Yeah.
What about you? I read physical books 72.7% of the time. So 73%, almost three quarters of the books that I read were physical.
Yeah.
And then 12%, and that amounts to four books, were audiobooks. Four books, again, another 12% were e-reader books. Mm. And then one book was on my iPad.
Do you remember what book that was?
Yeah, it was Brenna Thumler, because I got it sent early to me, and so it was like a galley version.
Yeah.
But because it's a graphic novel, I read it on my iPad.
I love that you specified iPad. I should make sure to do that next year in case, because sometimes I'll randomly do that. Like sometimes I'll just read it on my iPad instead of my reader, because it's easier. I don't have to like download it and put it, you know, plug it into my computer and all that.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that I didn't read more on my e-reader.
Yeah.
Although, you see, this is... Okay. There's a little bit of a skew to the data. Because if I had the physical book, I think I then wrote down
physical.
But I'm going to change that. So, for example, A Clockwork Orange, that was an e-reader book. So that has... Because I have the physical version, but I read that on the e-reader. 15%. We've bumped it up.
15%. Very good.
I feel like maybe there was one other one as well. But yeah, mainly physical. That's interesting though. That just bumped my physical down to 69.
Huh.
69%.
Amazing. Okay.
All right.
Genre. I mean, this is going to come as no surprise. I feel like this all just makes perfect sense for me. But my biggest chunk at 26% is fiction. Just general contemporary fiction.
What percent was that, sorry?
26.
Okay, well...
And then I've got a handful of smaller ones, but the next largest one is actually graphic novel, which is surprising at 10%. I guess I did kind of read a bunch of graphic novels. But then I've got comics at 8.9%. That's all the sagas I read. I also have 7% manga. So like I have those all split up, but if you put them all together, that's a pretty cool. hefty I like that. Chunk. Let's see. I've got horror at 6%, memoir at 7%, short stories 6%.
Sorry, what was memoir?
Memoir was 7. Only 7. Huh. I think it's going to be higher in 2024. I really think I'm going to read a lot of memoirs, but we'll see.
Whoa.
I'm kind of picky about memoirs. I don't just read anything. I have to find really cool ones, you know? Yeah. And then that's kind of it. I mean, sci-fi, 4%. Classics, 6%. I've got this tiny little wedge.
6% of classics. That's interesting.
Yeah. Although I have a little 1% graphic memoir.
You read one, huh?
I guess so. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, I did that.
That's funny.
What about your genre?
Okay. My biggest... Sorry, can you remind me, your biggest category was what?
Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think that my biggest one was?
Maybe classics.
I wish. It's, yet again, graphic novels.
Oh.
Which is so funny because I didn't feel like I read that many graphic novels this year, but I did. 22% graphic novels.
Whoa.
19% in second place, nonfiction.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
My nonfiction is so small this year, actually. I didn't even see it. It's 2%. But memoir is separate from it. So if you put them together, it's more like
almost
10. That's
why. That's why. Classics is in third place with 14%.
Yeah.
And then just quickly going through the rest. Poetry, 7%. Children's, 1%. That's only one book. Biography. That, which doesn't even count, honestly. That was a memoir. So that would bump up the nonfiction, actually, to past 20%. I'm going to edit that right now. Live on the pod. Editing the spreadsheet.
Hacking it.
On my own 2 feet. Biography should just be... It's kind of complicated because, obviously, a lot of books, like, are two different things.
Yeah, you have to make a decision.
You have to make a call for the charts. Okay, so that has bumped nonfiction up to 22%. It is now tied with graphic novels.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
Literary fiction is only at 9.8%.
Okay, that is crazy to me.
I know! It's insane!
That's your
genre.
It's
actually insane.
Like, what?
I know! Westerns? 2% at 5%. Isn't that crazy?
Westerns are almost beating literary fiction.
I know. It's kind of, yeah, yeah. When I was looking at this data, I was like, whoa, I didn't actually read that many, like, new novels this year.
Yeah.
I read a lot of new stuff, but not a lot of new novels, really. Not that many of them.
Hmm.
This is a slight... technicality, because 12% does go to Asian translated fiction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have
so
those separated
kind of
in that
a little
section.
More specific. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. That makes sense then.
All right, what's our next category?
Next up, this one's always fun, just as like a thought experiment, I guess. This is the country of origin of the author, which, as we've talked about before, it's kind of hard because a lot of people are from one place and move to another place, so it's all kind of
rough.
Skewed.
It's rough.
This, what I find very interesting is that this year I hit exactly 50% America.
That's so fascinating because, for context, if this is your first time listening to an ep or the first time in a while, the last 2 years, not this year, but the year before and the year before that, we had goals to read less than 50% American authors because we just noticed that we were really skewing that way all of the time and we wanted to diversify a bit better. But this year we didn't, neither of us had that as a goal. And so I was very curious how that was going to play out.
But also what I found interesting too, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I didn't make any of these charts until like yesterday.
So you weren't tracking this.
Exactly. Usually throughout the year, I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. Like, oh, I should read some more Canadian authors or whatever to kind of balance it out.
Yeah.
But this year I just wanted to see what would happen if I just let myself fly free. And I somehow hit exactly 50% America, which I thought
was so interesting.
Hilarious.
I read 40% American authors.
That makes sense. Yeah, I feel like you...
You and I did... Like, we basically created a new habit. Over the last two years of, like, having that as a goal, we have now made it a habit to, like, prioritize reading more widely. Mm-hmm. So it really worked. This goal setting, like, has really changed the way we read, I think.
Yeah. And actually, on that same point, I also have a spreadsheet for my unread books, and I have the country of origin listed on that spreadsheet. So... for the future, this is what I'm working with. I have, of my whole collection of unread books, I have 50.6% America, and the rest is from around the world. So if I just keep reading consistently what I own, it'll naturally just happen that way.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. But second biggest chunk for me was Japan at 18%.
18. My second biggest chunk is also 18%, but it's Canada.
Whoa, my Canada is 13%. That's the next one, and then the next one down.
Okay, well my third one is Japan.
No way.
At 15%.
Okay, that's crazy. And then the last kind of big chunk I have is England at 11%, and then I've just got a handful of small ones.
Yeah. I then have a bunch of small ones, Italy, France, Korea, Australia, the UK, the Czech Republic, Hungary, a bunch of other little ones. But yeah.
That's awesome.
That's funny. We have the same top three. Well, it makes a lot of sense. US is always going to be the top one because that's where there's so many people there, and that's where they have English publishing in the largest sense. And because we're Canadian, we're so close to America that they're culturally pumps up here. Mm-hmm. Canada is always going to be in our top three because we're Canadian.
Yeah, we do come
across.
And
then Japan's always going to be in the top three because we're obsessed with
Japanese
fiction.
I don't think it's possible for that top three to change. I'd be really surprised if
it changed.
That would be cool.
It would be very cool if it did. That would be kind of crazy.
Yeah. Can you imagine just like not reading a single American author for a whole year? That'd be so hard.
That would be really hard.
It would be hard in a way that's not fun.
No, exactly. And like for what? Because so many of the classics and modern books that I want to read, like all over historically.
Like, I want to read them. I'm not going to read them. I know somebody who one year just read all Canadian books, only Canadian authors.
That's cool.
And I thought that was cool, but also sounds hard.
That sounds really hard.
That sounds stressful.
That sounds really
hard.
But
she did it, so go her. Okay, next up, I've got decade. You do this one too, right?
Yep.
The decade that the book was published. Because obviously, if you just put in the specific year, it gets a little bit too crazy. But we do decades. And every year, it looks like this. It almost looks like a peace sign shape. And the two large chunks are 2020s and 2010s. They're both 35 and 36%. So they're these huge chunks. And then down at the bottom with all the little smaller chunks, we've got, let's see, 2000s at 6%, 1990s at 6%. So we're kind of just working our way backwards through time here. And then 80s is really small this year, but I read four books published in the 60s. I read three books published in the 50s. So those are kind of my big chunks. But yeah, that's something I will talk about this obviously in the goals episode, but that's something I really want to change next year is this specific chart. I want it to look different. I want it to look different next year.
Okay, that's really fascinating.
Little teaser.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, but I got some insider scoops. Here we are, and I am basically in exactly the same boat as you, where it's the biggest chunk at 61% 2020s. I just read a lot of modern things that came out in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Then the big next big slice, but a lot smaller at 16% is 2010s. And then we have that last quarter of the pie is made up by classics. And so we've got 1970s, 1960s, and 1910s. I feel like it's slightly not updated correctly for some reason. Let me just try seeing if I create a new chart.
Yeah, repopulate the chart. Sometimes I find that they don't stay correct.
Oh yeah, it totally did it.
Which is another reason I like to make them at the end. It was
because I have had okay, that's really annoying, but I'm glad we caught that. Okay, slightly updated chart here, guys. Actually, very changed. 2020s is now only 51%.
Only? Whoa.
Well, that's like way smaller than it was.
It was
61. 61, now it's 51.
Okay. Yeah.
So now it makes up half of the chart. Then the number two spot now goes to the 1960s.
Whoa.
I read six books from the 1960s.
That's true,
year.
Actually. Yeah, I read some of the same ones you did. So like that, it makes sense that we both have that as a slightly bigger chunk.
A Clockwork Orange, Ariel by Sylvia Plath, Lunch Poems by Frank O'Hara. What were the other ones?
True Grit.
Oh, and True Grit by Charles Portis. I might have missed one other one, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
A lot of books from the 60s. That's so cool. That's my second slice. It was like, it's either published in the last 3 years or in the 1960s.
Yeah, that's
really
cool.
And then there was only actually three books from the 2010s.
Oh.
And then from 70s, the 10s, whatever. That's really fascinating. Okay, wow, that's really different than it usually is. I'm glad that we repopulated that.
Yeah,
that
okay, cool. I'll try and wrap this up here, but one I found interesting, did you do what month you read books in? Did you make a chart for that?
No, I did seasons.
Okay, I did both, so I'll just say my top month. My top month was February. I read 14 books that month.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I have written down the exact date that I wrote them, so I can tell you that. Sorry, what was yours? February?
February, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, my top month was October. Huh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, tied with July.
October and July. I read a lot in June as well. I read 12 in June. Well, that's fun. Okay, what about season? What was your best reading season?
Yeah, well, now I'm repopulating the charts.
Yeah, as you should.
Okay, my top season was summer.
Ooh, me too. I read
30%. 33%. An exact third of my reading happened in the summer.
Yeah, me too. It took over a little bit more. It was 30%. And then next from there is winter at 27%.
I also have 27% at winter. Huh. Fall, 27%. Spring, 12%.
Yeah, spring
I don't
know
was
what
17. I was doing in
why,
what
don't
happened
read
in
spring?
Spring?
What happened in spring? Yeah, spring is when we read some of our favorite books. So maybe we read our favorite books and then just kind of pieced out for a while.
Easy.
We're like, I can't read anything else now. I just read The Blue Castle.
Wait, you're right. In spring, I read 4 books. I read A Psalm for the Wild Built, mm-hmm. True Grit, The Blue Castle, mm-hmm. and Gender Queer.
Yeah. I just remember because I know it was May when I read Know My Name. Like, it's locked in my head.
Damn,
now.
That was a good
I remember
time.
That time.
Take me back to spring.
Spring is a good time. Quality, not quantity. Okay, and this is a fun one that you specifically asked me this at the end of last year in this same episode. So
yep.
I'm going to give it to you now. So
good.
You asked me basically, when did I buy the books that I read this year?
Yes.
So
yes.
This is the when last purchased. Like exciting chart that I have here. So, and okay. Obviously this was a goal of mine was to read a lot of books that like to read the books that I bought this year. So the largest chunk is 2023. These are the books I bought in 2023, 38%. Yep.
Okay. Mine is 45%.
Whoa.
Yeah. 45% of my reading comes from books I bought this year.
Yeah. That really
That's
says
good,
something.
Though.
Yeah.
At least I'm reading the books. Like, most of my reading is made up of these books I'm buying.
It's true. It's true. But then my next largest chunk at 30% is books that I bought before 2022. So before last year.
Oh.
So I read a large chunk of like my backlist purchases as well, which is really interesting. And then the next one after that at 20% is books I bought last year. So between this year and last year, it's 58%. Or like, that's what I've been reading is books from the past 2 years. But before 2022 was a huge chunk, 30. And then at 8% are books I got from the library. And 2% books I borrowed from friends.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I count that because I don't own them. They don't count.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, 45% of the books I read were from this year. 24% of the books were books I bought last year.
Mm.
And then the last basically quarter of my reading comes from books I bought from before then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I do find that interesting.
It is
interesting. All right. I have one final chart. Maybe you don't have this one.
Okay.
But do you have one with star ratings?
I do. Yeah. I just didn't think it was really worth mentioning, but we can talk about it.
Oh, I think it's interesting. How, like, because on average, like, are most of the books you're reading hitting 3-star? What's your highest one?
It's the
one?
Same every year, I think. 4.
Oh, really?
4 stars is my highest at 44%.
Oh.
Because really? I don't give out 5 stars very freely. Like, I really only do that if I really love a book. And so oftentimes books will be close, but not quite. And so I'll give them 4. And then my next biggest one is 3 stars at 22%. So I'm a little bit more in the middle. And then from there it goes down. I actually gave quite a lot of 5 stars this year because I reread Saga, and that's a 10 volume series, and I really love those. So I've given out 15 5 stars, 10 sagas, and my top 5 favorite books.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I gave out only 5 stars.
Oh my God. But you have 6 favorites.
I know.
I love that.
I did not give Psalm for the Wild Built 5 stars, I don't think. Yes, I did. Which one is the one that I... Oh, yeah. It was Wedding Toasts, I'll Never Give.
Yeah.
I gave that 4 stars. And I stand by that. Still love it.
I love that.
And then 4 stars has 36%. 3 stars has 42%. So that is my biggest one. 42% of the books I read this year, I gave 3 stars to. Oh. And then only 2 books... 6% got 2 stars. Those sad little books.
Yeah. I had a few twos as well, but no ones. Nothing I utterly hated this year, which is good.
Same.
It's always nice.
Well, now we're going to look at your extra spreadsheets.
Alrighty, so I'm going to just jump into my books acquired spreadsheet. I don't have a lot of data here, but I'll give you the important info. Okay, guess how many books I bought in 2023.
God. That's tough, really. That's tough. I think there's a lot.
It is.
Okay. I'm going to guess 120.
You're so close. 114.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to give myself a green on that one.
You totally nailed that one. You really nailed that one. But I mean, that's also including books that I was gifted. So a lot of them were gifts as well. Sure. But, you know, I did buy a lot of them.
Yeah.
The only two, charts I have for this one, you might find this very interesting. So the first one is, did I read it? And this doesn't just have yes and no. It also has yes, but I got rid of it, or no, but I got rid of it, so it's no longer on my TBR. I know this might be shocking information, but there are tons of books I bought this year that I've just gotten rid of because I changed my mind. And so this is the breakdown of that. So out of those 100, actually, you know what? I'm going to repopulate the spreadsheet just to make sure that it's correct, because I'm scared now that mine also didn't, because this one I had throughout the year. I did keep this one. Okay, let's look at the data. Okay, so of these, I did read and keep 35% of them. I read and got rid of 12%.
Oh, that's a huge percent.
It is a huge percent. But as we go back to the other data, I read 40% almost books from 2023. So it makes sense. And then my no, but I got rid of it, so it's no longer on my TBR, is 8%. Which leaves...
That's also pretty big.
It is pretty big. But that leaves 43% books that I have not read yet.
Books that you bought and are still just sitting
there
right now.
They're still sitting on my shelves. So the secondary chart that I have is just, do I still own this book? Which I thought was kind of interesting. And it's 78%, yes. 78% I still own them. 18% I got rid of them, and 3% I gifted them to other people. So I have sold and gifted as two separate things, just because I was curious. But yeah, I have a few books that I read, and then I'm like, my mom can have that one, or my friend can have that one, or whatever. So
that is so fascinating. That is so fascinating.
I highly recommend you keep a spreadsheet like this for yourself next year. You keep all your books though, so that part doesn't really matter. Like, I feel like you don't really.
No,
get rid
I
of
really
books
do
like
keep
do.
All my books.
Yeah,
I . This is going to come up more in the episode where we talk about goals and stuff. But I finished building my bookshelves. I made a video about it, posted that on YouTube. Really, I have so many comments from people who are like, I think you need to get rid of your books. Or I think you need to get rid of more books. And I'm like, what? Why? Why would you click on a video of a woman building bookshelves and tell her to get rid of her books? That's like, that rude. Doesn't make any sense.
They just think you're crazy, clearly. They wanted to let you know that they think you're crazy.
I think you're right. I think you're really
some people, I tell you. Okay, in the nature of talking about how many unread books I have, I'll finish this little spreadsheet-a-thon off with my TBR spreadsheet. So at the beginning of 2023, I had 212 books on my TBR.
Okay.
And there's a lot of fluctuation. I won't get into every single fluctuation, but what I'm at now at the end of 2023 is 160.
Oh!
Pat on the back. I feel like that's pretty good considering how many books I bought.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So that's a combination of you having read a lot of books, but also you having gotten rid of a lot.
Gotten rid of them. I've took a lot. In the scary, I mean, this is going to be the funniest one to look at, I think. In August, I read 6 books. I unhauled 28, but I also bought 17. Like, that's the way I am, man. I'm just constantly fluctuating and changing. You can't tie me down.
That's so fascinating.
Isn't that wild? Like, why? What?
That is wild.
What? So my TBR went from 195 to 178 that month, even though I only read 6 books.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. So I'm now at 160, and I'm feeling good about that, but I do want to bring it down. I want to bring it down even more. So
yeah,
we'll see
how
I do.
You're on track.
Yeah, I went down, not up. So that's a good start.
Exactly. That's the right direction.
Imagine if it was just the same, the exact same at the end of the year somehow. But yeah, I had a lot of fun tracking that.
Definitely more. I don't need a spreadsheet that's to tell true. Me that. Yeah, yeah. I own a lot more books than I did last year. And I only read 33. So.
Oh, no, I really wish that you had it. I could hear the number of how many books you bought. If somebody goes back and listens to all the episodes, you could probably make a list, but that's a lot of work that I'm not willing to do.
That is a lot of work. There is, it's funny because I just reorganized all these shelves, and I mean, there's two things. One, that was a whole hassle. Number two, it was pretty painful today to pull down so many books that I just lovingly put back. But I just reorganized them a couple of days ago, and I picked out like 7 to get rid of.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And they were all like books that have been given to me, sent to me. Just books that I'm like, how did this end up here? I didn't buy this. And I was like, wow, I'm getting rid of a lot of books here. What a cull.
I got rid of 28 in 1 month. Okay, so here's my question for you, just because you're talking about reorganizing your books. Do you feel like reinvigorated about reading them now? Because that happens to me every time I reorganize. I get rid of some and I feel excited about the rest.
1,000%. Nice. I almost feel like it's worth the pain and torture of reorganizing your shelf. Yeah. That is going to be a new piece of advice that I give to somebody if they're in a reading slump. Because it's there's such a thing of like, think of this book. Do you want to read it? Yeah. But when you're actually holding it, it's so different. You're like, actually, this is so cool. I forgot about this book. Yeah. I found this book. It really made me so excited for reading in 2024. because my office is so cool now. Like, there's this whole new section of bookshelves, and it just looks so beautiful. And I'm just like, I can just sit here and stare at that and read all the cool books. I was like a little overwhelmed with excitement.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Yay!
Yay. That's good.
All right. Well, we have a lot more questions to get through, need to keep it going. But we always knew the spreadsheet was the bulk of the episode. Yeah. So here we go. We got a lot more stuff to talk about. Mashed potato books that you feel that you conquered this year. And as a quick recap for people who are listening, this is something we made up in the second episode of the podcast ever. I was like, we need a word for this type of book. And we landed on a mashed potato book. It's a book that you have been saving and you don't even really psychologically know why you've been saving it, but you're so excited about it. You really want to read this book, but you keep saving it and saving it for the quote unquote perfect moment. And it means that you end up either never reading it or when you finally read it, you're like, God, why didn't I read this ages ago?
Yeah.
Much like the mashed potatoes in the turkey dinner, where I think we had just had Thanksgiving a week before.
Yeah,
It was October when we started the podcast.
That's true.
My mind was on Thanksgiving dinner. But like on turkey dinner, you have your mashed potatoes and it could be your favorite thing. And you're like, I'm going to save them till the end. And then by the time you finally get to them, they're cold. And you're like, I should have just read this earlier. That's the whole concept. So we have mashed potato books that you conquered and that you created. Start us off.
Okay. So should I just do both? Do you want me to just do both?
Yeah.
Okay. So the ones that I've conquered are some of my favorite books from this year. Norwegian Wood. And 11/22/63 and Kitchen Confidential were all mashed potato books of mine because I was just like, these are going to be so good. And so I'm glad that I finally read them because obviously they ended up being my favorites. But I also conquered Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood, which I didn't really like that much, but I'm glad I finally read it.
Yeah.
I also read Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. Again, didn't really like it, but I'm glad that I knocked it off my list because it's just been staring at me for a really long time. And I read Out by Natsuo Kirino, which was one that I really ended up enjoying. It didn't end up being a favorite, but I really liked it. And then the final one was In Cold Blood by Truman Capote, because I've been seeing that book for like a decade, just thinking like, oh, I should read that. I should really read that. Mm. And I finally did. So those are the ones I conquered. But then the ones that I created are some books that I really feel like I should have read this year. Yep. The first one being A Day of Fallen Night by Samantha Shannon. I'm really mad at myself for not trying to read it earlier. I think if I had just read it when I first bought it, I would have actually finished it, but it's still gonna happen. It's on the docket for next year, hopefully. We'll see what happens. But the next up is Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler. Oh. This is one that I bought last year when you and I were hanging out, when you were out.
Yeah, we bought it together. I'm thinking of Straight.
You're thinking of her other book, but yeah, I bought that one when we were together. And the reason that I'm like mad I didn't read it this year and I feel like it's become a mashed potato book is because I read so many books about restaurants and chefs and stuff this year. Oh, so I feel like it was dumb that I didn't read it. So I'm really mad at myself for that. And kind of similarly is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I also bought that last year when you were out.
Yeah.
And I was really, really excited about it when I bought it. So I'm mad that I didn't get to it this year. So that's a new mashed potato. Then we've also got Only Child by Rhiannon Navin, which is, as we may remember, it's a book that Brenna Thumler recommended. Well, I kind of recommended it by accident, not having read it. And then she read it and loved it. And so now I really want to read it. And I'm super excited to read it. And I just haven't yet, but you know, next year. There's always next year. So, yeah.
God, so relatable. Okay, here are a bunch of books that I read this year that feel like they were mashed potatoes. Mm. My Brilliant Friend, Elena Ferrante.
That one counts.
Yeah, we read that.
I forgot about that one because I blocked it from my
memory. Bonjour, Tristesse. A lot of the classics that I read, I'm just like, I've been meaning to read that forever. 84 Charing Cross Road, A Clockwork Orange. Mm. The Year of Magical Thinking, that's really been a big mashed potato book for me. I've actually attempted to read it in the past and it was so sad that I stopped, but now I finally read that this year. A couple of poetry collections that I was really meaning to read were Lunch Poems and Ariel by Sylvia Plath and Frank O'Hara, respectively. So I feel like I actually conquered a lot this year, which I'm happy about. But then, boy, did a lot get created. A lot of mashed potato books that I'm like, A Prayer for the Crown Shy. That is the sequel to A Psalm for the Wild Build by Becky Chambers. Yeah. I bought it pretty soon after finishing the first one. And I was like, I'm definitely going to read this. And I just didn't. And I'm like, why didn't I? Novelist as a Vocation. Mm. That book. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow is also on my list. Ooh. I love Gabrielle Zevin. She wrote a book that nobody knows about called Memoirs of a Teenage Amnesiac that I read when I was like 13 or 14. I read that because of you.
Yep.
Yeah, because I think it's such a great book and I really loved it. And God, I just realized I sound like a person who's like, I liked that band before they got big. But I did.
It was true though.
But then now she's got this book that like totally blew up and I was like so excited for it. But I think I just got like psychologically psyched out that like everyone was reading a book by an author that I loved, but nobody used to know about her. And now like got confused and then I didn't read it. That. And now I'm like, why didn't I read it? That was so dumb. Everyone loves it. I bet you I'm going to love it. Swimming Studies by Leanne Shapton. And similar to that, Briefly a Delicious Life by Nell Stevens. I feel like those two books are books that like are like 2 year mashed potatoes now. Like
that's true. Yeah. I forgot that you like, were reading Swimming Studies 2 years ago when you came to visit me. You brought it, but
those
never
are mashed
read
potatoes
it.
Where like the butter on top has rehardened.
Yeah, it's like just throw them away.
Oh God. There are others, but those were the ones I thought I'd mention.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. What were your favorite book covers this year? And these are these have to be books that you actually read this year. Yes.
Okay, so I have
not
a couple
just beautiful covers that you saw.
Yeah, that would be crazy talk. Okay, so I have just a few.
That would be nuts.
I have just a couple here. The first one being After the Quake by Haruki Murakami.
It's really
cool. Love these new covers that they've done for his books, but this one I think might be my favorite. It's just so beautiful. The colors are awesome. And then I also really loved Idle Burning by Rin Usami. This cover,
that's a cool
I just
one.
Love
that
the color really palette. Cool. Of this and it looks so cool. So those are my two. I didn't really have a lot. I was looking through them and I was like, nothing else beat these.
Same.
Two. Yeah.
Really, I had the same problem. I went through all the books that I read and there was none that I was like, this is as beautiful as what I consider to be like a beautiful book. So I did want to do a shout out to Lunch Poems because these little pocket editions I am obsessed with.
Yeah.
And then also Ariel by Sylvia Plath, which I can't find it, which is weird.
She's
because
gone.
I just reorganized everything and I'm like, where is that book? I think it's in a tote bag somewhere.
Wow.
Anyways, Ariel by Sylvia Plath, I think is a really iconic and beautiful cover. But
it is. That's a good one.
Okay, this is a new question for this year. Pretty hyped on this one. What is your sub-genre of the year? Basically, yeah. I realized that very often, Raylene and I, and just jet readers in general, like, you discover a new little subgenre, and then you, like, rabbit hole into it, and you're like, wait, this is, like, a cool new cozy place that I like. I want to discover this. So you start us off.
I chose two as well because I thought of a second one. My most obvious one is books about restaurants / chef memoirs. Totally. I read a few.
Yeah.
I read Kitchen Confidential. I read Stanley Tucci's book, Taste. And I'm sure there's another one, but I feel like I read a few and it was something
read,
I really...
Yeah,
like I mean, four. I bought some as well. Like I bought Eat a Peach. That's another chef memoir. So, and I want more. Like I'm not ready to stop yet. But yeah, so I'll probably be reading more next year. But that one definitely is something I'm like looking forward to having more of in the future. But the second one is quiet translated books about fans of idols.
True.
Which was something I read three books like that this year. Two of them I loved, one not so much. YN was not it for me, but the other two books are Idol Burning and Astral Season, Beastly Season. So those were all kind of like in the same wheelhouse, and I'm excited to see more books like that, because I feel like they talked about interesting things that I haven't really seen in other books, and that's why I liked it. Like, they're very specific. It's about young teens who are obsessed with an idol or a group of idols, and like what, how that affects their life, and like crazy things happen in all of the books as well that kind of affect how they see the idol. And it was a weirdly specific genre that I really enjoyed this year.
It's a cool little genre though. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, there's two, and the first one is letters.
Mm, yeah.
Collections of letters. Obsessed. Love it. It all started with 84 Charing Cross Road. I read this one and I was like, whoa, this is cool. And I just started like, what other letters could I read? And this year I read three different collections of letters. Mm-hmm. And overall, including those three, I bought seven books of letters.
It's kind of just starting. Like, you're just getting started.
Oh, it's so exciting. And then the other one, very similar, is Westerns, Cowboys. Yeah. So this year I read True Grit, obviously, as I mentioned, one of my favorite books of the year. Read it and I was like, actually, that's not where it started. It started with Outlawed.
Oh,
I read Outlawed by Anna North. And I was like,
I forgot about that.
I love Cowboys. And that's why when I saw True Grit a couple months later, I was like, hey, that's a cowboy book. Mm-hmm. I like cowboys. And I read that one and I'm like,
now you started 10 something. 10.
Yeah. So I then bought a couple more cowboy books, but I didn't actually read anymore. Mm-hmm. But I would really like to. Like, I'm still very open to the Western genre.
That is awesome.
Really, really cool. Okay. These are some new questions, okay? So we didn't do last year. So we're gonna see how these go. Mm. What is a reading trend that you noticed this year?
I think this is an obvious one, but I'm going to say it. It's hashtag spice talk.
Oh, people... I don't know what that is. What is
so
that?
I only wrote that, and I only know that term because my local bookstore has multiple shelves at the front of the store that are labeled hashtag spice talk. And what it is, at least from what I can gather, is it's just like smutty fantasy books that have become very popular on TikTok. That's like the genre that people were really into this year. Everybody just wants the spice. And it was actually really funny when I, as part of the research for this, answering this question, I went on Instagram and I put in hashtag Bookstagram 2023. And the top three like sub searches that came up with that were spicy, fantasy, and spicy fantasy. So that's literally what the people wanted this year. Like, that was all I could find. And so my prediction for what is going to be next is kind of tied to it a little bit. So I think that my prediction for what next year will be like the trending thing is going to be cozy fantasy, because I think
I have the same answer.
That's really hilarious, because like Legends and Lattes was a thing this year.
That's what I literally wrote down.
Exactly.
Cozy Legends and Lattes. And I also wrote down like Morisaki Bookshop, like these types of really cozy books.
I think that's going to be the next thing, because I feel like Legends and Lattes is kind of like alone in its genre a little bit. Like, I feel like there's probably other cozy fantasies I don't know about, but I feel like the like super cozy, like Animal Crossing video game vibe fantasy is kind of new, and I feel like there isn't a lot of that, and so I think that that could be the next big thing, because people just want to have a cozy little time with their tea, like nothing stressful happens, and it feels like you're playing Stardew Valley or whatever. Like, that's, I think that's what people want, is more books like Stardew Valley, essentially.
That's so fascinating. I completely agree. I think that is my prediction for next year. I think we're going to see more cozy books. We're already seeing them. It's obviously not like a brand new thing. There's all sorts of books like, my brain literally just blanked, and I had three at the top of my mind. Oh, I was thinking of like all the Japanese ones, like before the coffee gets cold. Like there's genres, there's books out there that are like kind of proto this genre, but I think it's gonna just continue to really ramp up next year with these cozy books.
Agreed.
The reading trend that I noticed this year was also just a lot of romance. Like, it's not even so. This is not specific enough. I wish I had been more specific, like you with like the spice talk thing. But I just really noticed people super excited and happy and hyped on romance books.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting because I really don't know much about that genre, and so it was like a lot of new books to me. So it's really fascinating. So I'm curious. Yeah. Maybe what I was seeing was these repercussions of spice talk.
Spice talk.
Old spicy talk.
Yeah.
All right. Who were your favorite authors of 2023?
Okay. So this one, once again, is fairly obvious, but I'll run through the list. So Chanel Miller is now at the top.
Yep.
I am so like excited to see what she does next, because I have no idea.
Has she written anything else?
No.
Oh, okay.
No other books anyway. She hasn't published any other books. And so I need her to write something else. And I'm sure she is. Like, she would be a great novelist. And I don't know if that's something she has planned, but I think it would be awesome. So yeah, she's at the top of my list. But then I have added Eliza Clark, even though I've only read one book by her as well.
Cool,
I do feel like I really, really like her. So I've stuck her up there as well. But then I also wanted to mention Hiroko Oyamada, because I read The Factory this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I read the whole last year or the year before. And I haven't read Weasels in the Attic yet, but I think I'm really going to enjoy it when I get around to that. I really like her voice as well. Like, I know that I'm going to enjoy her books when I jump into them. And they're just so, like, specific, but I really, really like them. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Stephen King and Haruki Murakami, because I've just keep adding to my repertoire of the two of them, and they're just solidified themselves as probably my top two favorite authors. Maybe I think that's the decision I've come to. We'll see.
So the four authors that I've written down are all classics. They're all classic authors. No new author made my list, which is kind of interesting. Number one, Lucy Maud Montgomery. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm obvious. Just obsessed with her. Yeah. I love her. I give her the crown. Number two, Charles Portis. Like, I am so excited to read more from him. He's the author of True Grit. So excited to read more. As you know, I bought another book by him, The Dog of the South. I'm excited to keep exploring him as an author. Number three, Beverly Cleary. I already loved her, but now that I've read her memoir, I'm obsessed with her.
I love it.
And then finally, this is really kind of comical, Marcel Proust. Something happened. It's really dumb, but like, I read one of the collections of letters that I read this year was from Marcel Proust, and it's funny that like the first thing I read by this very famous classic author is this weird little dodgy collection of his letters he wrote to his neighbor, being like, could you please stop making so much noise?
Yeah, that's a funny place to start, for sure.
But this is why I love letters so much. They're so intimate. Like, it's like the pretense is gone, because when you're writing a book, you're trying to say something. But when you're writing letters, you're just yourself. You're not trying to say, you're just saying you're talking to your friend or whatever. And so it's cool that the way that I met Marcel was through his letters and not through his fiction. Now I'm so excited to read A Swan's Way, which is his most famous book. And he wrote like a giant book in Search of Lost Time, which is like a book in seven books. It's like seven different books or whatever. Mm-hmm. But every time I see Marcel Proust's books in a bookshop, I'm like, my man, Marcel.
There you know he is.
Yeah. My man.
He's your pal.
Love that buddy. Love that guy. Should really read his actual books.
Yeah, it's like you with Stephen King a little bit. Like, you started with possibly the strangest place to start and then stop.
And with Haruki Murakami. I've only ever read his nonfiction. There's somebody else like that as well. I love it. I think it's funny. That's funny. Okay. Now it is time for us to do some very specific to us things. So first, Raylene, your side. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear about how many cat books you read this year. I'm very curious because for listeners, you know, Raylene loves cat books. It's a running and important sub-collection, sub-genre. Yeah. But this kind of was a running meme like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm like, is this still relevant? Are you still even reading cat books? Do you even care about cat books anymore? Should we move on? So we're about to find out.
Okay, you're about to find out. So I read 4 this year.
Oh, okay.
One is kind of on the cusp, but I think it still counts. I'll start with that one. Mamo by Sass Milich.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of cats in this book. It wasn't like a cat was a main character, but there was a cat that was around the whole time, and there was a collection of cats at one point. So I'm counting that. Then I also read this manga called Cat and Gamer, Volume 1. It's got a big old cat on the front. I read that. I sure that. Did. I read. That's my cat books are always so random now, because like, I'll just, if I see a cat manga in a bookstore, I'll be like, oh, I'll just buy that. And so I just have like so many random
cat books. You need to take a photo of that one for the Instagram for our audio listeners. It's so good.
I definitely will. It kind of looks like Simon on the front a little bit, actually.
It does look like Simon.
Okay, and then the third graphic novel I read that's a cat book was Catboy by Benji Nate. This was my favorite cat book of the year by far. Okay. I really love this one. Highly recommend. But then the final cat book I read was The Guest Cat by Takashi Harada, the only non-graphic novel / manga that I read. And I did not like it. I did not like this one at all.
I remember that.
It was written like it was supposed to be poetry. And I was like, get on with it. Also, where's the cat? Where's the cat? The cat wasn't barely in the book at all. And it made me very mad. I actually surprised.
It's called The Guest Cat.
I was really surprised that I still had this on my shelf. I thought I got rid of it. And so when I was looking through my books for this episode, I was like, huh? I still own that? Why? Might have to rectify that after today.
Still living? I feel like you got to keep it because it's part of the cat collection.
I know, but I also want my collection to be just like the best of the best. You know what I mean? But maybe I'll keep it. Maybe I'll keep it.
I think it's really different skinny. For like a sub-collection like that.
Yeah. You're fine.
That's interesting. Okay, so here's my question to you. How invested are you still in the cat books community?
Okay, that actually is a good question because I get tagged all the time in people's Instagram stories and whatnot of just look at this cat book. You should add this to your cat collection.
Yeah.
And here's how I feel about the cat collection. I feel like it's almost at its maximum. Like I feel like it's kind of almost complete because I don't want just every cat book. Like that's not the vibe I'm going for. I want just like a very specific collection of like cat books that I love. So I am welcome to recommendations. If people read a cat book they really love where cats are like the focus, then great. Yeah. But I don't want just any book with a cat on the cover. I don't want that. And I specifically am leaning towards like Japanese translated books that are about cats because that's how it started. It started with the Traveling Cat Chronicles. And that one's actually from the perspective of a cat. So that's kind of what I would like to get back to, if possible, if there's any more books like that. But yeah, I feel like my collection is pretty much where I want it to be. But I do have a bunch that I still need to read. Like, I still haven't read The Master and Margarita. I still haven't read I Am a Cat. Those are the two classics. Mashed potatoes that, those will be potatoes for a while now.
Cat book classics.
Exactly. But I feel like once I've read those two, then I feel like I'll have, like, completed the story.
Kind of sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think it would be really cool if you read those next year, and then at the end of the year, we kind of like have a ceremony for the cat books.
I mean, I'm definitely thinking about it. They're both really long is the only thing, but we'll see.
Oh, I see. We'll see. Okay. All right. Well, I don't have cat books to talk about, but what I have to talk about is books that I DNF'd.
I'm so excited.
This is a running meme, and I have some words to say before I begin.
Okay. Let's hear your speech.
Ahem! Ladies, gentlemen, and people of the crowd, I don't feel bad about this.
Good. You care. Shouldn't. No shame.
And I just want to say that I am sharing this list of books because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't feel any shame about it. I don't feel any guilt about it. I don't feel any worry about it. It's just interesting to me. The way that I read is, and we talked about this, I think, on the last episode, I am a charcuterie board reader, okay? Yeah. I like to pick up a little piece of cheese and I nibble on that and I'm like, I actually, no, that wasn't the right move. Put the cheese back, pick up a cracker. Oh, it's time for a pickle. Oh, I forgot about the cheese. Like, you're going back and forth. That's how I read, and it works for me. I'm very content. But that means that books get sacrificed left, right, and center throughout the year. Just sliced and diced all over the place. And so I have a collection of most of them. I'm sure I'm forgetting two or three of them because it's hard to go back, because the whole thing is I don't actively DNF these books.
I was just going
to
say,
I just forget that I'm reading them.
Yeah, it's not actually a DNF. It's just a truly like I just didn't continue reading them more than I did not finish.
Yeah, it was I moved on and I forgot about you. And then like months later, I'm like, oh yeah, I had started that. And I like completely forget. And so I know I'm forgetting some, but that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
So, CJ, I would like some instrumental sad string music or something, right? Well, starting now, these are the books that I started and did not finish. Anne of Green Gables, the manga.
Oh, no.
Jane Austen at Home, the biography by Lucy Worsley. A Thousand Years of Joys and Sorrows by Ai Weiwei. Slouching Towards Bethlehem by Joan Didion. Trick Mirror by Gia Tolentino.
Oh,
Haruki Murakami's Novelist as a Vacation. This one hurts. Kafka Was the Rage by Anatole Broyard. In the Margins by Alina Ferrante. A Single Man by Christopher Isherwood. The Trial by Franz Kafka. Breasts and Eggs by Miyako Kawakami. And finally, Diary of a Void by Emi Yagi. Thank you. Thank you.
It's funny because I've forgotten about so many of those, and some of them in my head you had finished. I thought for sure you had finished Trick Mirror. I thought for sure you finished that book.
No.
That's really funny.
No.
Thank you
for
sharing.
I don't think I did. I really don't think I did. It's not on my spreadsheet.
I don't think so.
No, because I was listening to it on audio. Did I finish it?
I don't know. You probably reviewed it.
God, if I finished it, that's so funny. Because in my brain, I feel like I didn't.
But in my brain, you definitely did. Because I remember you talking about it, like, at length. But who knows? That could mean anything.
Maybe I got confused because I finished that one as an audiobook.
Mm.
Hold on, guys. Let me look at these essays.
I'm pretty sure you finished it because you, like, convinced me to want to read it.
Guys, I totally finished this book.
Yay! Yay, yay, yay. What a happy discovery.
I read 34 books this year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so funny. It's because I, it's because... It's because I read this as an audiobook, and so I must have forgotten when I got home to add it to my spreadsheet.
Makes
or whatever.
Sense. Makes
Oops.
Sense.
Okay, well, listen, we're all learning here. 34 books. Wowee, look at me go.
Look at you go.
Okay, moving on to our final section of this episode.
Here we go.
So this is something that I used to do on my YouTube channel when I did a final wrap-up of the year.
Yeah.
I just liked to do this section, and then when we started doing everything on the podcast, I was like, I want to bring it over here. And so basically this is book memories, a chance to mention nice book-related memories that happened this year. I love this because it's just a little walk down book memory lane. Raylene, what did you want to highlight?
Yes, my list is always smaller than yours because I don't like do a lot of like bookish things, which is kind of surprising. But and as usual, one of my things that I've chosen is a time that we read a book together. Because that's always a nice memory. And we did that a few times this year with a couple of graphic novels. But my favorite one that I wanted to highlight was when we read A Clockwork Orange together a couple of weeks ago.
It was the best.
It was awesome. So fun.
It was so fun.
Reading an entire novel together was such a silly thing. Like, we just hung out every day, which we never do. We hung out every day
days.
For a few hours, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
And read this entire weird book together. And we, like... I was so happy to be on the journey with you also. Like, if I was reading it by myself, I feel like I would have been really scared. And you were there to hold my hand.
Or DNF'd it. I could have picked
DNF'd it. I really might have DNF'd it because it's kind of a crazy book. So that is definitely one of my favorite bookish memories. But the second one is totally random and is still kind of happening. So what's happening is my little brother, my baby brother, is getting into reading. And I am helping him on the path to greatness.
Yay!
So essentially what happened is he, when we were younger, like he was maybe, you know, 12 or whatever, he got really into this one series, the Demonata series by Darren Shan. And then he stopped reading entirely for the past decade or whatever. And he just recently decided he wants to start reading again. And he was like, just like, I would love for you to like recommend me books or gift me books that are totally different from that. Like not horror, not fantasy, just like nonfiction and whatever, normal fiction. And so I've gone on this crazy journey, and this is coming out on Christmas, so there's no spoilers. He'll already have received his presents. But I bought him, I think I've bought him 20 books so far, and I'm saving some for his birthday, but the ones for Christmas I have wrapped up, and they're all wrapped in a way that he's not allowed to open them until he's ready to read the book. I've put a blurb on the outside of the book with bullet points. I've told him when the book was published, whether it's nonfiction or not, etc. So that's his Christmas present. Is I got him some other stuff too, but I'm just so excited to share reading with him in the new year. Like he's gonna just all these fun things to read. But to kind of backpack on that, I gave him a couple of books early because I wanted to. I was like, I just want him to be able to start reading before Christmas. And so one of the books I gave him was I Am the Messenger by Marcus Zusak, which is one of my favorite books of all time. And he already read it and he loved it. And it just makes me so happy. Awesome. So that's something that really has like struck a chord with me in terms of book memories this year. And yeah, I'm sure I'll have lots more stuff like that next year because I found a lot of really cool books for him. And so I'm pretty confident that he's going to love a lot of them. So
So exciting because Raylene sent me this photo. I forget what it where, but you were like at a big thrift sale, book sale,
yes,
and you're like, look at all of the books that I found for Mac, and I'm like, oh my god, that is so many golden classics, like such great reads, and I'm like, that is so cool, and you got them for like a buck or two each. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It was awesome. That's kind of why I went so crazy. Like I just was. It was like a buffet of wonderful choices and they were all cheap. So there was no reason not to buy all of them.
So cool.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was the best. I love it.
I was starting to suggest crazy ideas. I was like, do like the 20, like an advent calendar, just like a book every day. Yeah. Or like, there's so many books. It was so exciting. I know,
it was overwhelming.
Did you have any other ones you wanted to mention?
No, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, I have a lot.
I know, I knew you would.
First of all, reading Weasels in the Attic the week that I found out I had weasels in my cellar.
That was really funny. That was good.
That's the dumbest thing that's ever happened to anyone. It's awesome. Bookbinding. I did a lot of bookbinding courses this year. I want to say I did maybe four of them? Three or four of them. Well, one of them was paper marbling, but it's been such a treat. And like you said, this is coming out on Christmas, so I can just show some of the books. These are some books that I've made for people that I'm going to be giving out like to friends and family. And I've just been having so much fun with bookbinding this year and like learning a lot about the craft of making books and how they're made. And I just like, it's been a real, real treat. Similar to that, I went to an event this year called A Ways Goose, which is, I know, it's an insane term, but it's a print. It was the traditional name given to a party that a printer would have around the holidays or whatever. Yeah. And it happened in Kentville, which is obviously in Nova Scotia, here in Nova Scotia. So went out to Kentville and went to this Ways Goose. It was so cool. Like all of the like letter pressing machines and printing machines. And I'm like, these people are my people. So awesome. Oubliette. This is one of my favorite memories of the year. A bookish memories. My friend messaged me. What was it? 2 hours before a book event that I was already going to attend because they asked me to attend the event. Right. And I was like, of course I'll go and support your publishing and stuff. But then 2 hours or an hour and a half before the event, we had to get on the road or whatever. They were like, Ariel, the person who's supposed to host this event just bailed. Could you please host the event? And I'm like, buddy, I've not read that book. And they're like, you can read it really fast, I swear to God. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I did it, and it was so awesome.
Yeah.
The author was so nice. I then ended up hosting the next night as well in Halifax. We went out for this beautiful dinner afterwards. It was so beautiful. It was actually one of the best memories of the year. It was so cool.
That's so awesome.
Reading next to the canal.
Ooh.
This is, you don't need to know about this. This is for future Ariel when I'm old and I listen back to this episode. I had this moment where I was walking around London. I ended up on a canal. I didn't even know how I ended up on that canal. I sat on a bench. The sun was shining. It was the very like beginning of spring. I sat with my e-reader and I just read in the sun next to the canal. And it was just like a pure golden moment. Like I cling to that. And I will be clinging to that throughout the cold, cold Canadian winter. Getting my e-reader, I think we can all agree, was a huge moment this year.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And I want to use it more. Like, I used it quite a bit for books. And I feel like I am missing some books. But I want to use it even more. Because I think that I like, love it.
Yeah.
Lena's Visit. This is almost not a book memory, but it is because we met because we both used to make book videos.
Okay, yeah,
she doesn't anymore. I don't anymore. But we met because of that. And similarly, I went to the Charles Dickens Museum this year with Claire, my best buddy Claire, and it was beautiful. Oh, God, I love my book friends. I feel so lucky that I have these book buddies. Like, it's the best. Word on the Street. This was also kind of last minute. Word on the Street asked me to host a thing in Toronto for their festival. Mm. That was awesome. Super fun. And then I had also written down Reading Clockwork Orange with Raylene because that was just so much fun.
It was awesome.
Generally, visiting all of the new bookshops in in Nova Scotia that I went to this year. But I'm going to talk about that more in the goals episode because that relates to that goal. And then discovering a new favorite bookshop in Brooklyn, Center for Fiction. You guys, if you're in New York, that's the bookshop that I officially recommend. This is my new official recommendation.
Oh my gosh.
Center for Fiction is so, so cool.
Wow.
Really. Those were many of my favorite book memories. Okay. I can't believe we did it, but we did do it.
We made it through.
Now you can see why we didn't talk about goals in this episode, because it's been an hour and a half already.
We'd be here literally all day.
We would be here all day. But this has been a blast. Now, I do want to answer a question that I think some people might be thinking.
Okay.
It's only Christmas. And you guys must have recorded this episode a week ago. You're right. We're recording this on December 17th. It's not really technically the end of the year. How do you know how many books you read? How do you know? Blah, blah, blah. Well, this is something I've been doing the last few years, and now Raylene has also joined me on this.
Yeah, I did this last year.
Our reading year starts the second that we hit stop on this recording camera. Okay, our reading year is not a calendar year. It's a recording the final episode to recording the final episode year.
Yeah.
And that is just something we've had to do because we do a podcast for about reading. It just makes logistical sense for us to be able to sync up between these episodes. So it's actually very exciting because our page turns fresh in 4 minutes
when
we finish recording this thing. So we're going to start reading, and it's going to all be for the new
2024
year.
2024
reading. Hype.
Yeah.
Hype, 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 as they say. Spice talk. You see, I know what kids are saying. Hype, spice talk. All right. Raylene, we did it. We did the heck out of it.
Yep. We nailed it.
What we're going to do now is we're going to record our Patreon mini podcast, Movie Tub, which we do every week. But this week, it's going to be a special one because instead of just reviewing the last movie or the last show that we watched, we're going to be talking about our all-time favorite movies and favorite shows of the year. So if you want to check that out, you can over on patreon.com/booksunbound. We hope you're having a Merry Christmas if you celebrate. A general happy holidays to all. Thank you for watching this episode, and we'll catch you later, babies.
Bye.
Bye.